141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's been a chaotic week again in Scottish football, and what a way to end. Scotland against Iceland live at Hampden tonight. Russell Martin settling in his first full day as the 20th manager of Rangers. And just in the last hour, Ange Postecoglou sacked after just 16 days from winning the Europa League with Tottenham. I'm Roger Hanna, and with me this evening, Jim Duffy.
Yeah, there's never a dull moment in football, Scottish football, as you mentioned there, the international match tonight. I mean, Stevie Clark's already come out and said he won't be experimenting too much. I'm a little bit disappointed in that, Roger. I'd have liked to have seen three or four young players really getting a feel for the international setup. And why wouldn't you? I mean, we've already said the results in friendlies have really been poor, so why not use it to give these young players a bit of experience? And as you mentioned, Russell Martin really just to be getting his feet under the table now, looking at the squad, looking to assess things, and to see the Rangers fans will be looking to see how quickly he can move to get some very needed, much needed new signings into the building.
You talked, Jim, about Steve Clarke experimenting with youth. Listeners and viewers will have noticed Clyde One Super Scoreboard is experimenting with experience tonight. My first time this side of the desk. They've fallen on you, your experience, your calmness under pressure to ease me through it. And we've also received a message from the best in the business, Mr. GBX himself, George Bowie and Cassie.
Hello, Roger. It's George Bowie and Cassie here. And Cassie would just like to give you some advice on your hosting debut.
Roger, I pointed out that you are my senior. What I mean by that is you're older than me, wiser than me, not as good looking, but good luck for tonight.
He's a very handsome man, in fairness.
Okay.
Roger, obviously I'm on after you. Please don't mess it up, because otherwise I'll be picking up the bits and pieces. See you, mate.
I can only thank George for that. I'll try not to break anything, George, before you come on. I won't leave it in bits and pieces. But speaking of fixing things, picking up the bits and pieces, what about Russell Martin? What sort of job does he face, Jim, at Rangers? Because it was very much mixed opinion among the callers in the two-hour show last night.
Yeah, I must admit, I mean, it was obviously, you know, he was in the frame for a number of weeks there, Roger. And, you know, I personally think it's a good appointment for Rangers. I do think Rangers needed to have someone, you know, who could, you know, put a structure in place. People use the word philosophy. I mean, that can only be, you can only have a philosophy if you've got the players good enough to go and implement it. But his style of football, he does have a very definitive style. And I think Rangers have lacked that. Each manager has come in over the last few years in particular, have their own style. And I think Rangers as a football club have to get away from that. That's the reason why he's been appointed head coach. I think with sporting directors and things like that now, I think Rangers will define a style. And any other head coach that may follow Russell Martin will be asked to continue with that. So I don't think that's a bad thing. I was quite impressed. He probably done well not using the word project.
Yeah.
Because I think Rangers fans are thinking, no, we are not a project. And I think he came across well in the media. I think he understands, you know, the demands of the club. But I think Rangers fans will have to be patient. I mean, the gap between them and Celtic is huge. I don't think you can just throw a ton of money in it and hope for the best. I think you have to build something over a concerted period of time, maybe one or two seasons minimum. As he said, he has to win while he's doing that. He has to win some sort of trophy. But I think it's a positive sign, and I really do a positive view from the Rangers fans. I think it's changed. I think there's been more positivity than I think was initially expected.
Now, we knew we were going to Hampden tonight. You're a big Scotland fan, Jim. We'll hear from Tom Grant, who's there for Super Scoreboard tonight. He'll give us a Scotland team news round about 6:30. But we can head to Hampden. Our first caller is Jeff, a Rangers fan. He's at the game tonight. And I think, Jeff, you're wanting to discuss some of the criticism that's landed at the feet of Russell Martin and Andrew Kavanagh in the last couple of days.
Yes, I mean, I've been listening to the Super Scoreboard for the last 4 days. I've been trying to get on, and thank you for taking my call.
Delighted you.
See these so-called Rangers fans, they have been demanding that somebody comes in, or a group of people come in and put money into the club. Now, unfortunately, it's not the kind of money that everybody was expecting. It's a start. Right, so you've got to give the 49ers a chance to get their foot in the club and do what they have to do. Now, regarding Russell Martin, he's played for Rangers. He knows how the club is run. It really annoys me that before he even steps in the door, that he's been criticised. All right, he's not done well for other clubs, but he's brought clubs back into the English Premiership. You've got to give him a chance. If it works, it works. And if the 49ers do what they promise, give them the money, we're going to have a good team and we're going to come back at Celtic. And I bet you any money, the Celtic fans are really getting scared that we've got this group coming.
If you're a Rangers fan, Jim, regardless of whether you're a supporter of the Russell Martin appointment or not, is it important now that they take Jeff's opinion and support the man? Because he's in on a 3-year contract.
Yeah, absolutely, Roger. Any manager comes in is going to get the support. I think initially they will do that. I think you're listening, of course, media and social media, you're always going to get a bit of negativity, no matter who is appointed. Everyone's got their opinions. But for me, as I said at the start of the show, you know, you have to, Rangers have to get away from just appointing a manager and then giving them an open checkbook and saying, right, you bring all the players in you want. The next manager comes and says, well, I don't like them, start again. And it's going back to page one all the time. Yeah. You have to build something. You have to put a structure in, a style in, a philosophy in, and then, you know, incrementally just add the quality of players as the finance dictates. And if they can manage to do that in amongst, you know, changing the blueprint, if you want to use the pun, for Rangers, which is, you know, player trading. You know, they have to get that side as well. So there's a balancing act, and the biggest balancing act, and Jeff there, I think, is maybe getting a wee bit carried away saying the Celtic fans, I think, will be scared. I don't think that'll be the case. Celtic have a huge gap at this moment in time, both on the pitch and off the pitch. And the 49ers know that. So they're clever businessmen. They'll come in, they'll take their time. But while Russell Martin is building this style of football, you know, they will have to be competing for trophies. There's no question about that.
He spoke at length yesterday in his first day at work at Ibrox, Jim. The new Rangers manager says he'll show critical supporters and other sceptics that he is the right man for the job.
Listen, I have to win. I don't think I've been the number one choice at any club I've been at. I have a lot to prove. I have done in my whole career. My whole career has been based on proving people wrong, really. And at every level got questioned. When I got to the Premier League as a player, I wasn't convinced I could do it, but I managed to establish myself there for a little while. I ended up playing 4 or 5 seasons there. Played international football, which I'm incredibly proud of. So it's the same again as a manager. I had to prove people wrong at every opportunity. And there's always some names in football management that are always a bit more exciting than others, of course. But I feel after 5.5 years of being a manager, being a coach, being a leader in an environment, I love doing it. And I'm going to be all in here with my energy and my love for it and passion. And hopefully that will reflect on the pitch and people will see that. And at some point they'll enjoy it.
You spoke, Jeff, about potential of bringing players in. Andrew Cavan has spoken of a £20 million transfer war chest this summer. One name that has come up today, Connor Cody, former England centre-half, now a free agent after leaving Leicester City. Is he the type of player you could see adding something to Rangers next season?
Yeah, of course, of course. I mean any player that's got a decent background. It's a start. I wish they would have been able to keep Cherney because he was great at Ibrox. I think Tavernier could probably be playing his last season. I hope not, but I just hope and wish the 49ers all the best, and I wish Russell Martin all the best, and I hope everything works out.
Well, we wish you all the best for the game tonight. We're hoping for a home win, Jeff. But you know, Jim Duffy, the best part of being in this show, you and I have done this for many years, when the first caller of an evening says something outrageous and you see all the lights lighting up, you know, Jeff, you've made our life easy tonight, because we've now got Paul coming on and Kirk and Tillock. Paul is a Celtic fan and he is asking, why would Celtic fans be scared of this Russell Martin revolution?
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. Hi, how you doing? Hi, Jeff. Thanks for that.
speak on behalf of the Celtic fan base, Paul. Are you scared?
No. I'm not scared. I don't think I'm scared. I think if you've got half a brain in your head, I mean, I think it's interesting. I think it's for a change, it seems to be a different approach. But I'm not scared. I'm not concerned. As I say, I think it's quite interesting. The thing that I kind of seem to get my head around is Russell Martin, the guy who's come in, he's got a bit of experience. In my opinion, he's got more experience and he's won more than Steven Gerrard won, I think. I think he's a safer bet. But I think 75% of the Rangers supporters have still got this arrogance about them that they should be attracting the cream of the crop, like your Mourinho. And I heard a guy the other night even saying Jurgen Klopp. I mean, I don't get it. I really don't get it. But looking in, I think the 49ers, it seems to be a more measured approach than what has been happening over the last maybe 20 years or so. But to be honest, it would be hard to get it much more wrong than they've got over the last 20 years. But Big Ange made the statement about 2 years winning the trophy. I don't think Jeff's statement, I think it's probably a bit more sweeping and a bit more dramatic, but I don't think we're burning scared.
Do you think, Jim, Paul speaks for the majority of Celtic fans? Because they start, you know, 17 mm-hmm. points clear of Rangers last season. Mm-hmm. They won the Premier Sports Cup final against Rangers. They probably don't have huge amounts to do in the transfer window, though Paul might dispute that. Will a lot of Celtic fans be unflustered by Russell Martin's appointment?
Yeah, I don't think Celtic fans will be looking across at their neighbours thinking, oh, listen, you know, this is going to change dramatically. And I think if you're a Rangers fan as well, you've got to be, you know, delighted, obviously, the new investors in particular and the new management structure. But I think you've got to be patient, and it's difficult to be patient. I get that, but you have to be. You know, the gap, as you mentioned, Roger, 17 points. It's a huge amount, and yeah, obviously Celtic can strengthen. It's not only a case of Rangers improving; Celtic will improve. Yeah. Brendan Rodgers has made that quite clear. That, you know, part of the reason he came back to the club was to take the club onto the next level domestically and in Europe. And to do that, they're going to need another two or three, for Scottish football, major signings, yeah, to supplement the squad they've got. And that's presuming they all stay. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, obviously, Maeda, Hatate, I know he's currently injured, all these type of players. You know, there might be interest in other players as well. Kuhn is another one that's, yeah, been suggested, been interest down south. So, you know, but provided Celtic keep the current crop of players, they still need to add two or three. So even though Rangers might improve, Celtic will improve. So can they close that gap? So I think if you're a Rangers fan, you just focus on the improvement in the team, the improvement in the balance sheets, and also the style of football. I think Rangers want to see a more entertaining, pleasing on the eye style of football.
Paul, you mentioned his name there in your first point. Ange Postecoglou, we just found out after 5 o'clock tonight, sacked by Tottenham just 16 days after that Europa League final win against Manchester United. Were you surprised?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I loved Big Ange when he was at Celtic, as most people did, but his league record was abysmal. I mean, it's a strange one that he's won the European trophy, but if you watch that European final as well, that must be one of the worst European finals I've ever watched.
You touched his record there, Paul. I think 22 defeats in the 38 Premier League games, Jim. 38 yeah. points. It's the lowest Spurs ever accumulated yeah. in a Premier League season. That's really what did for Ange.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the league for me, listen, everyone can mitigate the circumstances, you know, with injuries to key players. But as Paul said, he then changed it, and he came out and he kind of deflected a little bit, saying, well, in cup competition, we'll change the style of it because it's about winning. And he was eventually proved right. But it's kind of a bit strange because if you look at Manchester United, who were every bit as bad as... Yeah. And they never won a trophy. So, and they kept hammering. So I thought they might have kept Postecoglou just to see whether with the players fit and adding new players, because there has been some talented young players brought through, there has been improvement in some players. I thought they might have gave him, you know, a few months, maybe up till Christmas. But I think some of his quotes, you know, all these kind of, you know, quotes about, oh, well, in the third series, they kill off the main character, they don't know, you know, and he was kind of throwing a few things in. So I think deep down, he probably realised that his time was up.
Only halfway through the 4-year deal that he signed when he left Celtic a couple of years ago. What next for Ange Postecoglou?
Well, I'll get a handsome payoff, there's no doubt about that, and obviously a really good bonus for winning the European trophy. But I don't think he'll be short of options. I think Ange will have, I mean, he's proved, as he said, and I love the fact that he came out and said, I always win a trophy, because everybody in the media were almost desperate for him to lose so they could throw it back at him, and he didn't. And so it was brilliant because, you know, managers just don't say that, Roger. You've done it long enough. As soon as you throw that out there, it's always going to be held against you. So it was brilliant, the fact that he won it, and he could say, well, I've done it. And as I say, so that, alongside his success in Japan, Australia and Celtic, then I think he's proven to be a very successful trophy-winning manager. And those type of managers are few and far between. So I think he'll have plenty of options all over Europe and the world.
Paul, Brendan Rodgers only 1 year left on the Celtic deal that he signed when Ange left for Tottenham. If Ange is still out of work in a year, do you think the Celtic fans would welcome him back to Parkhead?
God, I don't know, to be honest. I mean, he was great when he was there, but as long as you look on these guys are only in it for them. Ange, he came to Celtic to get a move to an English Premiership team. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be the top Australian coach. I say, I loved the guy. I thought he was great, but if he came back and done a job with Celtic, aye, great. But I think this, in the Champions League, I think he'll get found out big time with his kind of gung-ho approach. I think Brendan Rodgers has grew into it. His record wasn't brilliant in Europe either, previous to this. But I think he's grew into it. But, you know, the clubs need to be set up. Celtic needs to be set up that it's like a trading model for coaches as well. If you do well with Celtic, you'll get a chance at a kind of lower level English club.
I wouldn't call Tottenham a lower level English club, Paul. They're not a lower level English club.
No, but I was just going to say there, the reason that he got a chance with Tottenham is Tottenham are notorious for Daniel Levy being penny pinching and stuff like that. So, and I think by the sounds of it, that he tried people, but I don't think he's the easiest guy to work with. But Ange is renowned for, he loves a challenge and he loves a rebuild. I think that's why he got the Spurs job kind of thing. I'm talking about Brendan Rodgers going on to Leicester as well. That kind of level of club. But I don't think he'll struggle for a job, not because he's a serial winner. He's won everywhere he's went, which seems to get forgotten. When he came here, it was ridiculous, the stick he was getting. He'd won everywhere he went, won the equivalent of an international trophy, but still he was getting getting poo-pooed. And also when he went down to England as well, that was getting poo-pooed as well.
No, I was just going to say, Paul, thank you very much for your call. You have a great weekend. We've started well, Jim. We're going to take more of your calls, but first this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
See, I remember, Jim, in the old days, you used to get a wee rest in the summer from all the drama and excitement. But now they're keeping Beat the Pundit going through the season. And a wee look at the league table. I don't want to put any more pressure on you. But if you get a win tonight, it pulls your level on the table with Marvin Bartley. What more of a goal could you be looking for tonight?
Did you become level at the bottom?
Oh no, you're well on the table.
Marvin on.
Can I just tell you, Jim, now that I'm in this chair, this -2 nonsense is a thing of the past.
Listen, you're in charge, you can do what you like.
I can do what I like, let me tell you.
Absolutely.
If you want your chance to have a go at Jim Duffy tonight, please call 0141 951 1025. We'll be back after this.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Roger Hannah, and Jim Duffy. Jim, Scotland play tonight, but in typical Super Scoreboard style, the first two calls were about Rangers and Celtic.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise us, Roger. We know what like it is in this part of the world, you know. And I kind of get it a little bit. Rangers have a new manager, of course, and new owners as well. And Scotland, it's a friendly against Iceland and Liechtenstein. And, you know, even Stephen Clarke himself said, he said he spoke to Gordon Strachan and he said a chat saying, why are we basically so poor at friendlies? And, you know, that's the reason why I say the other one. I'd like to see some younger players getting an opportunity. We'll find out shortly, you know, what the team is. But I just don't see the point of playing the guys that have got 60, 70 plus caps again. I don't think you'll learn any more from them.
Well, we'll be delighted to take calls on that. Delighted to take more calls on Russell Martin's appointment or on Ange Postecoglou's sacking or anything else that's on your mind tonight. But first, we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I need to tell you, Jim, I have never looked forward to a Beat the Pundit as much as I'm looking forward to tonight. How easy does Gordon Duncan get sitting here reading the questions? He's off for the summer. He makes what a fuss he makes every night about tossing the coin. You know what he's left here for the summer months? A €1 coin. That's it.
Listen, that's not too bad. A €1 coin. I think it was Gordon DL. It might have been a lot less.
Well, listen, Jim, we've got Logan in Stirling. He's going to take you on tonight. Logan, how are you?
I'm not bad, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Is this the first time playing?
It is. It's the very first time.
Excellent, excellent. Looking forward to no nerves. No big game nerves.
I don't get nervous, mate.
Good, that's what I like to see. Confidence, well done, Logan.
Oh dear. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to give Jim something else to listen to. We've got a bit of Greatest Hits Radio for you. We've lost Jim Duffy. He's away to Greatest Hits. Logan, are you ready to go?
I'm ready to rumble.
30 seconds, your time starts now. Name any Scottish club Icelandic defender Johannes Edvaldsson played for.
Aberdeen.
What club does Josh Doig currently play for?
Hibs.
How many goals did Robin Proper score for Rangers? One or two?
Two.
Which Super Scoreboard pundit scored against Iceland in a 2-0 win back in 2009?
Pass.
Declan Gallagher's just joined which club?
Dundee.
There we go, Jim.
Ooh,
Logan and Stirling.
That was loud.
Fairly flashed through them there.
All right, okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Here we go. Your 30 seconds, your time starts now. Name any Scottish club Icelandic defender Johannes Edvaldsson played for.
Celtic.
What club does Josh Doig currently play for?
Josh Doig, no, it's not. I'll say Verona.
How many goals did Robin Proper get for Rangers? One or two?
One.
Which Super Scoreboard pundit scored against Iceland in a win back in 2009?
2009. Ross McCormick.
Declan Gallagher has just joined which club?
Ross County.
How many Rangers players are in the current Scotland squad tonight?
One.
There we are. Logan, how do you think it went?
I've been gubbed.
You think so?
I'm
not that confident.
I was really confident about sitting this side, but I have to... Gordon Duncan, reading them out is quite stressful as well as well as answering. So we'll go through them. Name any Scottish club Icelandic defender Johannes Edvaldsson played for. Jim, you said?
Celtic.
That's correct. Logan, Jim goes one ahead. Which club does Josh Doig in the Scotland squad tonight, of course, currently play for? The answer is actually Sassuolo, promoted back into Serie A this season. Jim stays one up. How many goals did Robin Proper get for Rangers, Jim?
50,
you said
50, I said one.
You said, Logan?
Two.
And the answer is two. You've drawn level.
Come on.
One all. Which Super Scoreboard pundit scored against Iceland back in 2009? We ruled out Hugh Keevans. It was... What did you say, Logan?
I passed that.
Jim got it right. It was Ross McCormick. 2-1 to Jim. And then Declan Gallagher actually spoke to the man today. He's just joined which club, Jim? Yeah,
Ross County.
Ross County. It goes 3-1.
I owe that one to my daughter Kim. She was sitting the day and she said to me, I see Declan Gallagher signed for Ross County. So there we are. Thanks, Kim.
Logan, you ran out of questions then. Jim, get one more. How many Rangers players are in the Scotland squad? You said one.
I said one.
Actually two, because Conor Barron has joined John Souter in the squad.
John Souter was the only one I could think of. Conor Barron was
both in it, but it is a 3-1 win for Jim Duffy. You're level on that table with Marvin Bartley. Unlucky, Logan, you're going to have to try again.
Logan's done a runner. Logan.
Logan, are you with us?
I'm still here.
You have to do it again. It says here you're a Celtic fan. The first caller tonight, Jeff in Giffnock, suggested Celtic fans might be running scared a bit of Russell Martin and a new look Rangers. Are you sounding scared, Logan?
He must be having a laugh, mate.
Logan's no supreme confidence.
Confident it's going to be another title success this season for Celtic, do you think?
Honestly, it's just getting boring, to be honest.
Ooh. That's always dangerous, Logan.
Complacency.
When you say that about complacency, aye. That may happen to Celtic maybe once or twice in the last few weeks of the season, and that's why they didn't end up with a treble.
I mean, if you look at the last 12 years, I don't think it is dangerous to say I'm not scared. Right.
Well, Logan, thank you very much for coming on to Beat the Pundit tonight, and need to phone back again in the new season, have another go at it. Now we can go to another Celtic supporter, Richard in Livingston. Richard, what's your point tonight?
I was just really happy about the comments that Dyson made on his international break.
Yeah.
I think we can we obviously are used to losing a few players, but Dyson is not one we can lose. He's so different from any player we've had for quite a while.
33 goals in the season, Jimmy, has been linked with clubs in Turkey during this window. But as Richard says, he spoke when he was away back home in Japan that he wants to come back and he wants to do even better than he did last season. What do you make of his campaign?
Yeah, well, for Celtic fans, I think it's a great, a breath of fresh air that somebody's so positive, because normally they kind of deflect things and they'll maybe say things like, oh, well, I'm happy, but, I always want to play at the highest level and so on and so forth. So I think it's refreshing that he's come out and said that. But nevertheless, is exactly, what Richard was saying there. A player like him, and the way football is played now with the high pressing and it's a trigger press, all these sort of things. And there's there's very, very, I mean, I really off the top of my head can't think of anyone better at that type of game than Maeda. Even all around Europe, I'm not saying there's not phenomenal players, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that in terms of triggering the press and how he puts defenders under pressure, yeah, he's got other aspects of his game which have improved significantly and there's still better to come, his link-up play. But I think that's the reason why there will be clubs circling Celtic to say, because the way the game is played now, whether it's the systems that they play, those type of players are few and far between. His energy levels, his desire, his commitment, and also he misses very, very few games, Roger. Yeah. He's available all the time, and that's another important thing when you look at all the stats. So, yeah, he will be in demand. There's no question about that. I think Celtic will get offers in the summer for Dyson Maeda, whether it matches Celtic's valuation and whether the player thinks, well, that's a league or somewhere I would like to go to, it'd be another matter. But I think that's a compliment, again, to Celtic's recruitment. Yeah. Because, I mean, he was bought for literally very little money, and he's probably worth at least 10 times what Celtic paid for him.
Richard, thanks very much. Jim, you spoke about Dazen's availability, a full availability to Steve Clark tonight. We can now head to Hampden. Tom Grant is there for Super Scoreboard, and he can tell us the Scotland team to face Iceland. Tom, who's playing?
Thanks, Roger, and may I say you've made a fantastic start to your first presenting gig, a PSG in the Champions League final-esque start. But yeah, Scotland fans will be hoping for a similar fast start here in the south side of Glasgow tonight, because it's been 75 days since that Hampden humbling by Greece that saw the men's national team relegated from Group A of the Nations League. But since then we've had positives on the park, Max Johnston winning an Austrian Bundesliga title with Sturm Graz, captain Andy Robertson claiming his second English Premier League crown, with Liverpool, Bologna's Lewis Ferguson becoming only the second Scot to win the Coppa Italia, and of course that midfield duo, Scott McTominay and Billy Gilmore, winning Serie A with Napoli. But tonight it's really all about the World Cup 2026, which begins in Mexico City in just over a year's time, 370 days to be exact. So realistically, the countdown begins now, with everything Stevie Clark and his backroom staff do, tailored to ensuring Scotland are again involved in the party. And that starts this evening in Mount Florida with the first of two friendlies First Iceland here and then Liechtenstein in a few days' time. Really, the last chance Clark has to tinker ahead of a tough opening qualifying game against Denmark in Copenhagen in September. So the main question tonight really is, what does Clark go with? Does he listen to the shouts for embedding the new blood that I saw Jim Duffy saying as well, or does he stick with the tried and tested? Because he has seven uncapped players. We've got Kieran Bowie of Hibs, Conor Barron, Lennon Miller, all be hoping for a start, as well as West Ham's Andy Irvine. And I can tell you, Roger, that none of those uncapped players are in the starting 11. But it is, and probably the headline of the team, it is a first start for George Hurst, who replaces the much-fancied Shea Adams. So the team from the back is Angus Gunn, Andy Robertson, Scott McTominay, Grant Hanley, Kieran Tierney. Looks like he's playing a three. Kieran Tierney, Grant Hanley and John Souter, sorry. Left would be Andy Robertson. Right would be Max Johnson, comes in for Tony Ralston. Then in the middle, we've got John McGinn, Billy Gilmore and Lewis Ferguson. And then up top, as I said, we've got George Hurst and we've got Scott McTominay, who will be playing just in behind him. So, yeah, George Hurst probably the headline news, Rogers.
All seven uncapped players look to be starting in the bench tonight. Tom, as you say, would you expect to see some of them tonight? Maybe a Lennon Miller coming on to get some experience, or does Steve Clark just turn it round and give some of these uncapped players their chance in Liechtenstein on Monday afternoon?
Well, as I said, I heard Jim saying earlier in the programme that he would like to see some of these young talents blooded tonight. And, you know, it's a pretty of a tricky situation for Stevie Clark, because he does only have these two games to get his team ready for that World Cup qualifying campaign. Now, when I was in Greece, in Athens, for the 1-0 win in March, fans I spoke to then were calling for Lennon Miller to get his chance. So tonight in these two friendlies, you're really thinking, just to get the pressure off, get on the field. You've really got a home crowd here. They're going to be kind to you. We're playing Iceland, so maybe try and get them a run out on the park, because if they're going to have to be used in September, it's going to be a kind of baptism of fire, isn't it?
Very much is. Tom, thank you for your kind words. Thank you for the Scotland team. Hopefully, some of these debutants can come on and make that kind of impact in the game tonight. Fingers crossed for Steve Clark in Scotland. Jim, what do you make of this in the lineup?
Yeah, well, not to say that I thought that would be the case, but I put in this team before we get ready, and it's the team that Steve Clark has picked. As I mentioned, I'm a little bit disappointed. I understand what Tom's saying there about two games to go, but you know, for me, I would have liked to have seen one or two other changes in there. It's nice to see Max Johnson getting an opportunity, I have to say.
I was going to say to you, players in form, players who have won things this season, you know, Max Johnson, Andy Robertson, yep, Billy Gilmore, Scott McTominay, all won their league titles. Lewis Ferguson won the Coppa Italia. Yeah. There are guys coming in form and with smiles on their faces.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, from that point of view, you know, like say Lewis Ferguson, Max Johnson, you know, McTominay and Gilmore, of course, you know, fantastic seasons, Benapoli and Andy Robertson again winning the title. So there's been a lot there, you know, but again, I would have liked, as much as I'm a massive McGinn fan, I just like to have seen McGinn getting a breather. I like to have seen Andy Robertson getting a breather and getting maybe one or two other younger players into these areas. But, you know, Stevie's went with that. He may be in his head speaking to the, you know, his staff, the analysis, the, you know, sports sciences. They might be looking and say, well, after an hour we can make, you know, maybe some changes and bring some of the players on. But I would have liked to have seen some young players. But nevertheless, when you play a team as experienced as we have tonight, you know, I know Hurst is not, you know, massively experienced. Max Johnson not massively experienced internationally, but if you play a team like that, then you're expected to win. And that's the one thing I will say, that Scotland should be expected to beat Iceland tonight.
That's Jim Duffy's opinion. We want to hear what your opinion is on this Scotland team tonight. Also on Russell Martin's appointment and on Ange Postecoglou's sacking. You can get us 0141 951 1025. We'll be back after these.
For football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
And welcome back to the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Roger Hannah, and Jim Duffy. I'll just go back over the Scotland lineup to take on Iceland at Hampden. The Angus Gunn back in goal. Back three, John Souter, Grant Hanley and Kieran Tierney. The wing-backs, Max Johnson and the skipper, Andy Robertson. Midfield, John McGinn, Billy Gilmore, Scott McTominay and Lewis Ferguson. And up top, a first start for Scotland for George Hurst. We'll maybe get more reaction before 7 o'clock, but at the minute we can go to the lines. It's John and Ridgery. John, how are you?
I'm good, Roger. How's yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. What's your point tonight?
First of all, I'm actually knowing Ridley. I'm on the A9 heading for Elgin, but that's another story.
See, you see Jim Duffy coming up in a cold sweat there. He remembers going to Elgin.
I know.
Several teams.
I've been up there to Elgin and then got to about 20 miles from Elgin a couple of times actually, and the snow's come down and games have been cancelled just as you're getting there.
Don't,
but anyway,
don't you worry, John. There'll be no snow in Elgin,
John,
tonight.
You'll lose your signal. So, oh, what's your point?
My point is, guys, I'm hearing or sort of reading online that Celtic are in advanced talks for Bojan Majewski or Majewski. I'm just wondering if you've heard anything about this, Roger. Or...
Well, I can only speak for myself. I haven't heard this. There, of course, was an interest in Majewski before he left Aberdeen to go to Girona in La Liga. He's had a very difficult season over there. I believe he is available for transfer. Jim, we spoke before the break about Dyson Maida when Richard called in. Adam Ida's there as well. Could you see Celtic going out and getting Bojan Majewski? Bearing in mind, he cost £6 million last summer when he went to Spain.
I must admit, I did like him with Aberdeen. I thought he was terrific in a very poor Aberdeen team. Yeah. You have to say that at that particular time. He stood out. He was a shining light there. Scored a good number of goals, a good link-up player, left-footed. I mean, he gave him... He was certainly a star there. And I think if he can recapture some of that form... And sometimes you go to a club and you just don't fit. You know, we've seen it with Furuhashi, Kyogo Furuhashi. He's went there and he's struggling at Rennes. So sometimes you go to a certain football club and you fit, and other ones you don't. And I think the style of player he is, the kind of his movement, his link-up play, his finish, I think he would be a good signing for Celtic. And I think you would get him probably for a fraction, possibly in loan to start with, you know, with a buyout mm-hmm. clause. And he knows the Scottish game, he scored goals. So yeah, I wouldn't rule that one out, although I have to say, John, I haven't heard that it's in concrete there, but it may be one of a number of you know, players that Celtic are currently looking for.
John, Maida got 33 last season. He was a double footballer here. Adam Ida is there as well. Would you take Majewski even if it meant Maida going back out to a wide role?
Yeah, I think I would, Roger. And I think the reason for that, I was saying to the producer when we were talking about when he was with Aberdeen, like Jim said, he scored a lot of goals, even in a poor Aberdeen side. You imagine what he would be like with Celtic with the service he would get. That's why I think he would be a great signing. Adam Ida, he splits opinion right down through the Celtic support. He was a great player when he came on loan. Yes, there's been a huge expectation put on his head because of that huge price tag, etc. I see Mera Adamida and Mera being a bit like a sort of impact player. That's why I was actually disappointed when he started the cup final, because I think we became very one-dimensional. And when it didn't work, we didn't have a plan B. Whereas I would have played my either through the middle in the cup final. And if it was the working, then brought my Ida own.
Yeah.
But I think Majewski would be a good option for Celtic.
I was looking as well today at some of the summer transfer gossip. Mike Navrotsky, Jim, mm-hmm. talk of Pogon back in his native Poland, yeah. looking at him. Is there very few opportunities mm-hmm. at Celtic for the sake of his career? Do you see him moving on this summer?
Yeah, it's a difficult one again, because when he has went in, he's actually done pretty well, you know.
Yeah.
I think he looks as if he's got potential. Some of John's saying about Adam Ida, I think Adam Ida's 23 years of age or whatever. I think he probably needed that season with Celtic, this season or last season, I'm saying. Get another, you know, pre-season under his belt, and then see whether he can step up to the plate and give a little bit more. Although his goal return was pretty decent, I think Maida will go back to the left, because Jota won't be fit for the start of the season. He's got a cruciate ligament injury, Roger. That will take a good number of months. So I think Maida will go back to his favoured position and more comfortable position in the left. So I think Celtic do need another centre forward. Johnny Kenny's come in, obviously, of course, and you want young players to progress through the system. It'll be interesting to see whether Brendan thinks he is a possible option. But Majewski, I don't think would be a bad signing. I think you would probably get him for £2 or 3 million.
John, that's a great point. We'll try and squeeze one more in tonight. It's only a 1 hour show again tonight. Michael, another Celtic fan in Odrossan. How are you, Michael?
Hello, good. You're so good.
Good, thank you.
I was just listening to the show, obviously. I was listening to that call on the last previous one. I agree with him. But Majewski would be back up, to be honest, I think. In my opinion.
Back up to who, sorry?
Yeah, I could be back up to Ida or even Maida.
Even Maida through the middle. If you listen, there is a great debate in the summer, you know, where do people see Maeda? Does Celtic need a striker with Maeda on the left, or does Maeda become the striker and another left winger comes in? Because as Jim Duffy says, Michael, Jota won't be fit for the start of the season. So yeah, where will Brendan Rodgers be looking?
I could be looking for a striker, to be honest. Roger, to be honest, I could be a striker. I'll be looking for...
But I think Michael, that, you know, clubs like Celtic, you know, when you're hoping that you qualify, obviously there's one qualifying round this time round for the Champions League. You want to be in Europe. You want to be competing for, of course, for all the domestic trophies. And I think top clubs now, you know, they look for three strikers. You know, the fact is, if someone says is maybe a backup, is maybe a wee bit, you know, something disrespectful. I think it's a much more fluent squad game now. Yeah. You know, and managers pick and choose players for certain games after Europe. They say maybe just before Europe, they say we'll play this game. And then in Europe, they've got a different type of striker coming back for Europe. Another, and also, you know, you see them changing three and four players now after an hour and all these kind of things. So I think what you don't want to do is be weakening your team when you're putting subs on. So somebody like Majovski, you wouldn't be weakening him. It's just a different type of striker to the ones that you're taking off.
We talk about Dyson Maeda. He was, of course, brought to the club, Michael, by Ange Postecoglou. Were you surprised that Spurs have sacked Postecoglou tonight?
Yes, very surprised. As I said to your producer, they're really surprised because he's won a European trophy the first time in 17 years. Daniel Levy loves sacking managers, but I don't understand why, to be honest.
Well, he's got two, if you think about it, in the sense of, and the reason I say that is because they're qualified for the Champions League.
Yeah.
That is like a trophy in England. You know, you hear them so often saying, oh, if we qualify for the Champions League. So for Spurs to win the Europa League and then that allows them to go to the Champions League, that is, I mean, yeah, of course, we understand that the league performances, you know, were very, very poor. But as I think Spurs' statement said themselves, they then prioritised about halfway through the season, listen, the Europa League, because of what it might get them. And it did. He won the trophy. You see 200,000 Spurs fans in London celebrating, and also in the Champions League next year, Roger. I mean, that is huge. So I think he's been harshly treated. I really do. And I think that it might come back and bite them, that Spurs.
And whoever comes in, he has left them that great legacy of Champions League football. Yeah, it's a far more attractive job now because of the job that he's done, Jim.
Absolutely. I think he deserved the opportunity to take those players and then add those players, because it will give them a minimum, what, £60 million in the kit. I know he'll be well looked after when he gets sacked. But, you know, a minimum £60 million will come in. And also the profile as the club, as you said, Roger, will be hugely
easier
enhanced
to bring players in
players in. And also just for the profile of Spurs as a business as well, being in the Champions League.
Well, Michael, you're our last caller tonight. Thank you very much, Jim. I know you'll be watching the Scotland game tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we get a couple of predictions? Is it a win? Is it a goal for George Huston, his first start?
I think both. I think we've got to beat Iceland tonight. I think we have to. I think George Hurst, it'd be great to see him. I still see him. And listen, we've got goals. We know McTominay and McGinn in particular have been great for us for scoring goals. But I think it's the type of match tonight we've got to win. So I'm definitely going to go for 2-0 Scotland tonight.
It's a predictable line. So predictable, you wrote down all 11 names before Tom Grant at Hampden had actually had time to read out the team. You got them all right. Does that mean we'll see changes for Liechtenstein on Monday?
Well, again, I hope so. I think I'd love to see, as I say, to George Doyle, Lennon Miller, again, Max Jones get another game. You know, players like that, you know, given an opportunity. And if you can't play them against Liechtenstein, Roger, who can you play them against?
Look, Jim, the seven uncapped players, a couple of goalies there, of course, Kieran Slick and Robbie McCrory. Of the outfield players, Lennon Miller, Kieran Bowie, who ended the season so well with Hibs, Conor Barron, likewise at Rangers, Josh Doig, promoted with Sassuolo, also Andy Irving from West Ham's there. Who would you like to see tonight off the bench?
Well, as I said, I think Lennon Miller, definitely. Josh Doig, for me, would be another one, you know. So I think those two in particular would give the Scotland fans, you know, like, again, looking at the possibilities of these talented young players. And also, you know, they've got quality. You know, they've got real quality, Miller and Doig. So, yeah, give them an opportunity. Hopefully, we'll get at least half an hour later on tonight.
Jim, that's great. Thank you very much to Jim Duffy. As ever, thanks to all the callers tonight. We'll be back on Monday night, a one-hour show again. Andrew McLean back in the hot seat with Hugh Keevans. I'm Roger Hanna, and I'm going home with Gordon Duncan's Euro. Thanks very much. Thank you.